understanding the Bible. I appreciate you tuning in today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I would encourage you, if you would, to take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we go through our Bible study today. And if you can't do that, take a pencil and a piece of paper and jot the Scriptures down and go back and read these verses of Scripture and compare the things that you hear here on the broadcast with the Word of God. Our intent is to give you information that will help you to be able to understand your Bible. As the Bible is not a book that's hard to be understood, even though some parts may be more difficult than others. There are certain keys to understanding your Bible, and that's what we want to provide for you here on the broadcast. If you have questions or comments about the things that you hear here, at the end of the broadcast, there will be information given to you as far as the times of our services, our telephone number, our website, and we'd be happy to hear from you. If you've got questions you'd like to have answered, we'd be glad to for you to give us a call or write us a letter, and we would love to have an opportunity to respond to any kind of questions or comments that you might have about the broadcast. As I said, our only intention here is to provide you with biblical information that will help you to understand your Bible and to cause you to be able to read your Bible in a way that would be beneficial to you, not just a book of facts, but a book that's able to change and transform your life. Today, what we want to do is I want to talk to you about the gospel of the grace of God, and I always try to close out the broadcast by presenting to you the gospel, how a person is saved today, but I want to talk to you about some things specifically related to the simplicity of the gospel. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Bible is not really a book that is hard to understand if we understand certain principles that God has given us in His Word. Likewise, the gospel is not hard to understand. The gospel, Paul says, is very simple. In talking about the gospel and talking about the Word of God rightly divided, we need to understand that the Bible or the Scriptures are to be rightly divided. We have a chart that we use each week, and on this chart we've demonstrated how we are to divide the Scriptures. And we do not believe that any of the Scriptures are more inspired than the others. It's simply a matter of looking at the Scriptures in relation to who they are written to. For example, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, deal with the first coming of Christ and His earthly ministry. During that time, we find that He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He committed that gospel to the 12 disciples. He sent them to the nation Israel, not to Gentiles. And during that time, the law of Moses was observed, water baptism for remission of sins, and so forth. After the death of Christ, in Acts 1 through 8, the 12 are carrying out the ministry that they were taught back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and so the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. Paul said that he is the apostle to the Gentiles, and the dispensation of the grace of God was given unto him. You can read that in Ephesians 3:1. And so these are the epistles in which we find the gospel of the grace of God. We find that it was committed to Paul, that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And in those books, we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Hebrews through Revelation are the Hebrew epistles, and that doctrine will match the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in those books, you'll find teachings concerning primarily the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, and the millennial reign of Christ, and the new heaven and the new earth. So in the Pauline epistles, we find that Paul puts a lot of emphasis on the gospel. The word gospel, very simply, means good news. A very simple definition of the gospel would be the proclamation of the redemption preached by Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 16, Paul is very specific there, and he says that we are to be established by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. All that you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Hebrews through Revelation, you can find in Old Testament Scriptures. All of that has to do with the fulfillment of prophecy. But that which Paul wrote in Romans through Philemon by direct inspiration of God was according to the revelation of the mystery. That is, that when God saved Paul in Acts chapter 9, Paul gives an account of that salvation in Acts 26, and he says that the Lord said unto him that he was going to be a minister to the Gentiles, and that he was going to open their eyes, turn them from darkness, and so forth. And he said that he was to preach those things that were given him by revelation. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, he said, I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So the apostle Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God, and Paul said his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. On the other hand, the 12, Jesus Christ told them that this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel that Christ preached, the gospel John the Baptist preached, it's called the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus Christ told the 12, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Paul said his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's also called the gospel of Christ, and he said that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find what that gospel is. In other words, what is the good news for today? Is it that you have to repent and be baptized? Is it that you have to quit sinning and turn away from your sin and become a new person within your flesh? No, that gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Paul said, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Back up in verse 2, he says, By which also you are saved. In other words, in reference to that gospel, he said, You're saved by that gospel. How does that gospel save? It saves by faith, by belief. Today, all that a person has to do in order to be saved is simply believe the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of God, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And he says, And after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the truth today is that salvation is by grace through faith without any work whatsoever. Now, as Paul preached this gospel, it is evident in the Scriptures that his concern was not that people would not understand the gospel, but that their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity of that gospel. In other words, the way that the devil today has hidden this gospel is to confuse people about what the gospel is and what is really involved in salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to that church at Corinth, says, Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice Paul's concern there is that their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And he uses Eve as an example. You see, when God Almighty gave Adam and Eve that command in the garden, it was very simple. I mean, you could not make it any more simple. It's like you teaching a child. God simply said, Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. But here's this one tree over here that you cannot eat of, and the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And of course, that death turns out to be a spiritual death, a separation from God. Now, that is simple instruction. But when the devil came along, he made Eve believe that God hath withheld something from them that was very essential in their life. And he told her, he said, In the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods. Now, the instruction was simple. But the devil corrupted that by convincing Eve that there was something about that tree that would benefit her and cause her to be better off than doing what God had told her to do. So when Paul writes his verse, he says, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now notice how that this corruption comes about. Verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." In other words, bear up against it. Do not accept that other Jesus, that other spirit, or that other gospel. And this is how we find that the devil has corrupted the simplicity of the gospel. Over in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of the gospel being perverted. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, as he writes there to that church, it's important to remember about the Galatians that what happened was that Paul had gone to Galatia and he had preached the message of salvation by grace. There were those Judaizers that came behind the Apostle Paul, and they said, "Unless you be circumcised, you can't be saved." You know, that reminds me today of a lot of religious groups that have their own standard for salvation. Unless you do this, then you can't be saved. Some say, unless you be baptized, you can't be saved. The Judaizers at this point said, unless you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Paul had told them that there was nothing required for their salvation other than faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so when he writes there in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "I marvel," he was astounded, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." But then he clarifies it. He says, "Which is not another." He said, "But there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." In other words, he says, it's not really another gospel because there's only one gospel for you folks in the dispensation of grace, and that is the good news of the grace of God. But he says what they've done is they've perverted that gospel. In other words, to pervert is to twist it, to change the truth of that gospel. And he says that they should not do that. As a matter of fact, in verse 8, he says, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Well, we know what that gospel was. We just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 4. That did not include water baptism. It did not include turning from your sins. It included the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. You say, "Yeah, but the gospel of Acts 2:38 said repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Exactly, it did. But that gospel was for a different time and for a different people. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, three different times, Peter says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Now, if you're a Jew living before the Apostle Paul was saved, that is the gospel for you. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Again, that's why we emphasize rightly dividing the word of truth. Back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is a gospel that includes repentance and water baptism. In Acts 2:38, Peter preaches that gospel. But when the Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, he is given the gospel of the grace of God. He says it's by grace that you're saved, not of works. And so today we are to preach the gospel that Paul preached. And Paul's fear was that somebody was going to come along and pervert that gospel and change that gospel and corrupt people's mind from the simplicity of that gospel. He said, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel of which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." And let me tell you something, folks. As in Paul's day, there are multitudes of people today who are deceived and who are preaching to people and deceiving them by preaching another gospel. They do that in order to, because of the fact, rather, that that's what they've been taught. And because that other gospel is the gospel that is satisfying to the flesh. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that the gospel is very simple. It's not complicated. Again, what is it? How simple can it be? Christ died for your sins. Well, why is that? Because the Bible says all men are sinners. So when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says God made Him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin, and yet God made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, the fact is that when you were born, or when Jesus Christ died, rather, all of your sins were in the future. And when Christ died on that cross, He died for all of your sins. He has forgiven you all trespasses. And the good news of that gospel is that your sins are not the issue. You see, most of religion, much of religion, I should say, puts most of the emphasis in the preaching and the teaching in trying to get people to forsake sin. And it is a good thing to forsake sin. It is a good thing to live soberly and righteously and holy in this present evil world. But, as we mentioned in our broadcast last week, you have to distinguish between works after salvation and that which is taught today as far as works for salvation. There are no works that can bring about salvation today. It is by grace, through faith. It is by simply trusting in the truth that is presented in the gospel and accepting Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for your sins. It is by faith. To him that worketh not, the Bible says, is the reward reckoned. And so salvation is by grace through faith. And the simplicity of that is that there's nothing that you can do in your flesh to bring about that salvation. Now, what we see in the Scriptures is that there are many attempts by the devil through individuals to corrupt the simplicity of this gospel. As a matter of fact, right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 13, Paul addresses those that preach this other gospel, this other Jesus, and this other spirit. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Notice now, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Can I say unto you that if you believe that verse right there, you have to believe that the devil today has ministers just like God has ministers. Let me read it again. He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." The devil has ministers today that appear as the ministers of Christ, but they're not. And he says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his," that is, if Satan's ministers, "also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So there are men today who preach from the Bible, but they preach doctrine that is called the doctrine of devils, and it is doctrine that deceives people about how they can be saved. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul mentions the blinding of the minds of people in relation to the gospel. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, "But if our gospel be hid," and notice he said, "if our gospel," not the gospel of Peter, James, and John, "if our gospel," in Romans 16, he said, "you're to be established according to my gospel." The gospel committed to Paul, Romans through Philemon. He says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Notice, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Well, how is it today that Satan has blinded the minds of people that believe not? Well, let me tell you how. Just like he did over there at Galatia. All you have to do to corrupt and pervert the truth of the gospel is to add something to it. In other words, today people will acknowledge, "Oh yeah, Christ died for our sins. We believe that Christ paid for our sins on Calvary. But in order to receive that which Christ did, you've got to be baptized. You've got to join the church. You've got to quit sinning. You've got to quit your smoking and drinking and commit your life to the Lord." There's all kind of catchphrases today that are used in relation to salvation that are not scriptural. like giving your heart to Jesus, committing your life to Jesus, committing your life to the Lord, making Him Lord of your life. All of those things are good things after you've been saved. But to be saved, there is nothing that has to be done. Committing your life to the Lord is not salvation. Turning your life over to the Lord is not salvation. Giving your heart to Jesus. Well, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And who can know? Inviting Jesus into your heart is not salvation. Salvation is trusting. It is placing your faith in what somebody else did. It's not looking for something you can do within your flesh. I remember I had been preaching for several years before I got saved. And when I began to hear the gospel preached, it finally dawned on me that what I had been doing was trusting in the fact that when I was 12 years old, I joined the church, walked the aisle, got baptized, and I was counting on that for salvation. But that wasn't salvation. And then there came a time in my life when I saw, through the preaching of the gospel, that when Christ died, He paid for all of my sins, and that what He did on the cross was all sufficient. It was all that God required. And so I accepted that as a payment for my sins. And when I did that, I got saved. But prior to that time, my mind was blinded from the simplicity of the gospel, because the thought that was always in the back of my mind was, what else is it that you need to do in order to be saved? And I wrestled with that. And literally thousands of people wrestle with that. We received a call after the broadcast one Sunday night from a young lady. And she said that she had listened to the broadcast. And she said, you know, I joined the church. I've gone to church. But she said, according to what you said and what I saw in the scriptures, I'm not saved. How can I be saved? And I told her, I said, the only way you can be saved is to simply trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did, believing that He died for your sins, paid for every one of them, was buried and raised again the third day. I said, would you do that? And she said, I certainly would. And there over the telephone, she trusted Christ as her Savior. You see, she didn't have to go to church. She didn't need to go to the altar and pray through. She didn't have to turn from her sins or invite Jesus into her heart. It's a trust issue. It's a belief issue. You believe the gospel. You trust in what Jesus Christ did, and you're saved. He says that the gospel is hidden by the devil. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 17, Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see, when you preach works for salvation, in effect, what you are doing is making the cross of Christ of none effect. So the Apostle Paul was very concerned that people's minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. He was concerned that there are those that pervert the gospel of the grace of God. He was concerned that there are those that come along and they make the gospel of none effect. How do they do that? By adding things to it. By adding things that you do in your flesh to that which God says you don't have to do in your flesh. He was concerned that the devil would hide the truth of the gospel from people by blinding their minds. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, he says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Let me tell you something. When you preach the gospel of the grace of God, the truth of His grace, there is going to be contention. Why? Because it goes against the pride and the ego of man. Our natural being, the natural man, the flesh that we are born with and grow up with, our carnal mind, the Bible calls it, is at enmity against God. And our flesh, because of pride and ego and self-centeredness, wants to do something in order to be accepted of God. But that is not the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for your sins. The good news of the gospel is that there is nothing in your flesh you can do. Christ did it all. And the simplicity of the gospel is that you can be saved simply by believing the gospel and trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you. Don't let somebody, don't let anybody corrupt the truth of the gospel and blind your mind so that you end up trusting in a religious work, a religious system, a religious affiliation. I can't tell you how many times I've asked somebody if they're saved and they would say, well, I'm this, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm Church of Christ, or I'm Presbyterian or Catholic. That is not the issue. Your church affiliation is not the issue. The issue is there a time in your life when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that He died for you, was buried, and was raised again the third day? That's salvation. That's simple. And Paul's fear was not that you wouldn't understand that, but that the devil and men that transform themselves as the ministers of Christ would pervert the truth so that you would believe that there's something you've got to do in your flesh in order to be saved. The gospel is simple. The question for you is, have you trusted in that gospel that was preached by the Apostle Paul? Do you know for sure that you're saved? You can by simply trusting in the truth of the gospel that's been presented here today.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.